Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And as I said, today we'll be launching our new national show
Very exciting. Here
from WEAA for Free Speech TV. And you can log on to steinershow.org now, as a matter of fact, and watch us on the web live as we stream this hour and our new national hour. And of course, it's Monday, which means Anthony McCarthy is in the studio and here with us.
It's great to be here with you. Very exciting. Some new changes to the Mark Steiner Show.
Good stuff. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We just get your thoughts on this election that we're fast approaching. It's 15 days, I think.
15 days.
Until November the 2nd. And in Maryland, there are some critical races going on, especially in the first congressional district between Senator Andy Harris and Frank Cradiville. But one of the biggest races people aren't sure about right now is the race between Governor Martin O'Malley and former Governor Robert Ehrlich.
There is a great deal of talk, Mark. I'll be very interested to hear what our listeners say right there in their living rooms as they're watching this race unfold.
Or if you have a Bluetooth, you can call.
That's right. In your car.
If
you have a Bluetooth. Be very careful with that. I saw the police pulling a lot of people over the last week. But, Mark, a lot of people believe that the momentum has really shifted in this race back to Governor Martin O'Malley, the incumbent, who defeated former Governor Bob Ehrlich 4 years ago for this position. Governor O'Malley really has been hammering home on TV and radio ads, very negative campaign ads, comparison ads about Bob Ehrlich's record, about Bob Ehrlich's work since he left state government. And it appears to be working. The Rasmussen poll, which is the latest poll that's been done in the governor's race, which was done about a week and a half ago, shows that Bob Ehrlich has really slipped in the poll. And a lot of the support that he has is solid around the state. But in the major areas, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, Baltimore County, Baltimore City, Governor O'Malley really seems to be picking up steam. I guess it's an 8-point lead, 41% to 49% for Governor O'Malley, 41% for Governor Ehrlich. Only a few people remaining undecided in this race. The two debates, Mark, I'm not sure what your final thoughts are on those two debates and how pivotal they've been. But when you go on Facebook, when you get involved in some of the conversations that are taking place on Twitter, a lot of people believe that those debate performances by Governor O'Malley made all the difference. And that Governor O'Malley seemed very in charge, very focused. The second debate, however, I will tell you, I was very impressed with how Governor Ehrlich came back swinging, very focused, seemed to kind of keep in check a lot of his sarcasm and other things we saw in the first debate. He really focused on the economics of the state, his idea on what we can do to get people back to work, and hammered away at taxes in the state of Maryland.
So, folks, we want to hear what you think. 410-319-8888. Let me throw these questions out, as Anthony just raised. Did you watch both debates? If you did, what do you think about the debates you saw? Did not include the Libertarian nor the Green candidate, which I think was wrong on the parts of the television stations who have put that together. I mean, this is a democracy, and maybe it would shake things up a bit if the third party candidates actually had a chance to debate the two mainstream candidates. So we can talk about that. 410-319-8888. If the election was held today, who would you vote for and why? Are you going to come out to vote? And the other thing I want to throw out there is there's one thing on the ballot that nobody is talking about. Nobody's talking about.
And what's that?
And it could be a real whatever. It could be one of those things. if it passes and you don't know what you're voting for. Every 20 years, people in the state of Maryland have a chance to decide whether they should convene a state constitutional convention that can change the constitution of the state of Maryland. Now, how many of you know about that? And how many of you are going to vote for it? And how many of you are going to vote against it? And why? So I think that's one of our programs, at least locally based, that we should talk about before the election. I have a debate on that because I think most of us don't even realize what that's about.
And how significant that could be on a whole lot of social issues as well as economic issues that could really change our Constitution.
And people would say that if there's a constitutional convention, that the powerful vested interests of Maryland will control that convention as well. Mm-hmm. Others see it as a way for the grassroots to bubble up, take over, and change the nature of the Constitution.
Things like term limits and a whole lot of other
things. Term limits. Or
Same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm. The guarantee in the state constitution. I mean, the one thing about the state constitution is that Maryland has to do is to support public education.
Education.
Now, that can be argued and changed. So your thoughts, 410-319-8888. Throw it out to the populist or to the popular or to the it's the corporate takeover of the state. Who knows, what would it mean? 410-319-8888. Let's go to the phones. You ready, Anthony?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. And Aaron in Baltimore, you are on the air.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you? Yes, I intend to vote for the constitutional amendment, and I knew it was on the ballot.
Good for you.
And I've been urging my neighbors and anybody I come in contact to vote yes.
Why, Aaron?
Why? Oh, good.
Because I think our state government needs a real overhaul from top to bottom. And I think this constitutional amendment is the best way to do that. We need a big overhaul.
Are you afraid of some of the concerns that some grassroots folks have, that maybe large, wealthy corporate interests, if we had a constitutional convention, could really steer us in a direction that concerns people?
Well, no, because the final product would still have to be approved by the voters.
Very good point.
I believe our state government needs a major overhaul. In fact, I would make almost every statewide office within the cabinet, with the exception of a couple, elected by the voters, would be one of my first moves.
Well, that'd be interesting. Well, and who are you going to vote for? Can you tell us that? And why?
Well, yes, I would tell you I would vote for the Grand Wizard of the Klan before I'd vote for Martin O'Malley.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, man. The Grand Wizard of the Klan before you'd vote for Martin O'Malley?
I would vote for the Grand Wizard of the Klan before I would ever vote for Martin O'Malley.
Now, before we go to the next one, you have to explain that one.
Because I'm going to tell you, given everything he did in this city with the illegal arrests and everything else he did as far as African Americans concerned, despite President Obama, on this one I'd have to tell President Obama to go to hell because I can't do this. I could not, in all good conscience, given everything that this man did as mayor of this city and as governor of this state, I would rather have the Grand Wizard of the Klan than Martin O'Malley.
Well, all right. Aaron?
Thanks, Aaron.
You've had your voice heard today. And I have to take a detour here because I don't know if you knew this, but I didn't know it. This is a detour. I do apologize, people. But I'm just looking for a Constitution Convention article on the web, and I noticed that John Murphy died.
Yeah, John Murphy died.
The editor of the Afro, one of the great editors.
Publisher. Never served as editor, but was one of the publisher and chairman of the board.
And the grandson of the founder of the Afro-American newspaper chain. Passed away at 94. And, of course, his lovely wife, his widow, Kameh Murphy, daughter of Cab Calloway.
Mm-hmm.
We send our condolences out to her. And now I have to make a phone call. I didn't know about that. I didn't pay any attention to the news this weekend. It's real terrible. So Carl J. Murphy passed away, an amazing human being.
John Murphy, very dynamic leader.
Did I say Carl?
You said Carl.
I meant John.
Which was his great-grandfather.
Yeah, he was the founder. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's why we're here together.
410-319-8888 is the number here, and let's go back to the phones. And Bob, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi,
hey,
Bob. You're on the
Welcome.
Air.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Well, hey, Baba.
How you doing, Anthony, and regards to you, and hope your health is coming along pretty good. First of all, isn't that ridiculous to hear from a man that called himself of African descent that he would vote for the Grand Wizard of the Klan? Have you ever heard of foolishness like that? You can tell that. Even a Negro probably wouldn't even say that.
But, Bob, a lot of folks, even in the debates, remember how Bob Ehrlich, the former governor, kept bringing up the fact that there were a lot of illegal arrests of African-American males in the city of Baltimore.
Well, he did bring that up, but let me bring this up about these illegal arrests. First of all, Patricia Jessamy could have done something about that and had some people pay basic a penalty. But the illegal arrests, the man that Bob Ehrlich hired for the head of the state troopers, him and Kevin Clark, was the one making these arrests. Now, why would Bob Ehrlich, if he had any kind of dignity of integrity about himself, first of all, hire somebody that did that? And the peeve that I have with him, which is amongst many, that he would bring outside voters into the state of Maryland from Pennsylvania and give them some type of payoff, pay them off. I think that is illegal. So that would show me that this person has no type of integrity or honesty about him at all.
So my sense is you're going to vote for Martin O'Malley on Election Day?
Well, I'm going to vote I would vote for him before rather than say I would vote for the Grand Wizard of the Klan, ignorant Negro, to make a statement
okay.
about that.
Bob,
that's my opinion.
Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate you being part of the show. 410-319-8888. And Walter, you're on the air.
Walter?
Walter, you there?
Sir, I concur with that previous opinion. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air, Walter.
And I respect you, brothers, but that was a very cheap comment to make, and I would submit that Bob Ehrlich is one of the Ku Klux Klan Tea Party members of the politics in the state of Maryland. And I would suggest to you that for anybody, black or white or brown or yellow or red, to go Republican at this day and age have lost their mind, because you take a look at the national ticket to the state ticket, and the arrogance of that person who wants to be rehired. I mean, just take a look at the fact that I don't care, brothers, if we register a Democrat or Republican. I submit to you that it would be good to reopen that constitutional convention, because it would allow a little more sanity to take place instead of those, as you say, corporate interests that continually allow certain things on the ballot. I don't see Maryland as ridiculous as California is, but just the last 2 years ago, I added up the ballot measures that were begging for money, and they won. But that was $210 million in Baltimore City alone for ballot initiatives, and all of a sudden, we're broke. So I think that if you open up the Constitutional Convention, you can find a way to change some of that type of foolishness, as well as the money coming from public schools going to charter schools. I think that even though I would be fighting upstream against charter schools, I would like to have that debate presented to the general public, in a sense of saying, do you honestly think that the chartered experiment in the black community, because one thing, brothers, if you notice about just that one issue real quick, they ain't having that argument in the white community. Chartered schools are basically centered in Baltimore City, Washington, D.C. In fact, I'll say to you, as I've said to others, Washington, D.C. has more chartered schools than the state of Maryland and Virginia combined, and that is foolishness. But
okay.
Along with my last point is, voting. I'm just not in the mood to argue with your first caller about Democrat or Republican. I'm saying, please, people, get out and vote November the 2nd. And this Friday, you can vote early from this Friday, October the 22nd, to next Thursday, October the 28th, at his various locations.
Very please, good point.
You can vote early, but you must vote. I don't
Walter,
care which way
okay, well, I completely agree. We need to get some other callers, but I think I agree with the need to vote. No matter what you vote for, there is a need to vote always.
Always. And I would point out that Walter mentioned the charter schools versus public schools. In Maryland, charter schools are public schools. They have a different criteria for the actual operation, but they fall under the auspice and even oftentimes under the governance of the local school authority, whether it's a school board or another. Well, school boards in all of our counties. So,
folks, what do you think? 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Let us go to Renee. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, Renee.
Hi. I'm just astonished at the guy that said he would vote for the Grand Wizard of the Klan. And I would like to say that, ask him, does he think it would be better if O'Malley, if Ehrlich were the governor, than O'Malley? I mean, I just don't see that the Republican Party has any black person's interest at heart.
Okay. Thank you, Renee.
I mean, this is... And I think when you saw the first debate that Robert Ehrlich tried to make a huge point about trying to reach out and get black voters to consider his candidacy.
Mark, I think you and I have been talking about this. A lot of our guests who come on and join us and observe these things recognize that although majority of the African-American callers this hour so far are very clear that they're going to support Martin O'Malley, there is still remains a great deal of concern about whether or not African-American voters will show up on Election Day in the state of Maryland, in major pockets where the Democrats need them to show up.
Here and around the country, the turnout of African-American and Latino voters is going to make a huge difference for the Democrats.
Most definitely.
In this country and in the state. And whether the progressive Democrats come out
That's
to vote,
true.
Who feel that no one is kind of listening to them either after they did all the groundwork to put both Obama and O'Malley into mm-hmm. into their respective positions.
And what we see, Mark, across the country, and you and I were talking about this before we went on the air, the Democrats are dispatching their superstars. They're dispatching Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. They're dispatching Michelle Obama. The president is being very strategic about where he goes
yep.
and the Democrats that he campaigns
here.
For. And they're coming right here to Baltimore with Bill Clinton, very popular among the African-American voting population here in
Still.
The city. Very much so.
410-319-8888. Maria, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Maria.
I'm the Green Party candidate for governor, as you both know. And I wanted to talk about how I and the other two gubernatorial independent party candidates are being deliberately shut out of debates by Martin O'Malley and Robert Ehrlich so that, you know, the folks that just called in, you know, it's this false choice between Republicans and Democrats, and they're not aware that there are other choices out there. I'm a much more progressive populist than Martin O'Malley could ever be, and there are people, you know, to the right of Ehrlich. I mean, there's a wide range of choices this election season, but, you know, I have tried to get into the debates. I have called WTOP. I've had communication with WJZ and the Baltimore Jewish Council, and also with Build IAF. And I have been told that Martin O'Malley and Robert Ehrlich will not, absolutely will not, debate independent party candidates like myself, and that they would not show up if we were invited. And, you know, I went to what was billed as a nonpartisan jobs accountability action with Build IAF last week after they refused my request to be included. And it looked suspiciously in front of 700 people like a get-out-the-vote rally for Martin O'Malley, who did appear. And I was able to ask him in the lobby when he was going to debate me, and all he said was, "I'm not doing any more debates," and turned and walked away. I mean, this continues to foster the idea that there is nothing but Democrats or Republicans, who, in my opinion, are both the same side of two sides of the same coin. I mean, and for people who, you know, are worried about, well, what if Robert Ehrlich gets in? But has your life improved under Martin O'Malley? Has our state really moved forward under Martin O'Malley? You know, can you pay your BG&E bill? Did Martin O'Malley institute a foreclosures moratorium 2 years ago when he was asked? And the answer is no. And, you know, voters
pardon me. I think that all parties should be included in debate formats that you have before the voters. And that, I think, is a shame. The question is, there's other issues there as well, which is, I mean, what does it take for the non-mainstream parties, Democrats and Republicans, to have a foothold? I mean, what gave Ross Perot a foothold was his money. He could get his message out when he ran and had considerable votes. That may be the Tea Party vote. But you know, we're going to watch West Virginia when we have our national election coverage in Washington, D.C., Bus Boys and Poets on Election Night. We'll be there broadcasting Free Speech TV. Anthony will be joining me along with many others there that evening. And in West Virginia, they allowed the third-party candidates to be part of the debate. They have something in West Virginia called the Mountain Party, which is akin to the Green Party. And they have, and he's there. I'm going to be very curious to see, as these people were included in the debates, did it have an effect on the outcome of the election? Does it change the nature of the vote? And we'll see. And Maria, we'll continue talking to you and anybody else is running. You know, I think that it's important to have independent voices to be heard.
And I look forward to getting Maria on my program before the election. And Mark, I was reading today, New York State is having its large debate just prior to the election, and all candidates on all ballots will be included in that gubernatorial election. The Democrat, Mario Cuomo has, not Mario, Andrew, his son, has agreed to appear, the Republican candidate. Even a party that's called the Rent is Rent Too High or Rent's Too Hell High or something is participating in the debate because, it, as Maria has eloquently pointed out, there are a lot of choices that can be made, and it's a slap in the face of democracy that we exclude party candidates, independent party candidates, from these conversations.
Maria, thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Alex. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Alex.
I called about maybe a week ago, and I'm from Baltimore City. I'm independent, registered independent. More and more frequently on the local, state, and national level, I've been become more and more disgruntled. I know that I have to vote, and I do vote. I will vote. But I am finding myself more and more frequently going into the voter's booth and coming out very sad and dissatisfied because I find myself voting for the lesser of two evils instead of the greater of two goods. I am not overly impressed with either the Democratic or the Republican candidate. And as you had mentioned earlier, there are all too frequently omissions from the other party candidates that are less well known. So, yes, I will vote, absolutely. But my point is that people have died and sacrificed their lives for me to vote for somebody who I ultimately am not even confident in and don't have any faith in. It's just basically boils down to the lesser of two evils.
Have you made up in your mind the lesser of those two evils that you keep mentioning?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I mean, in this day and age, the candidates, you know, O'Malley and Ehrlich both, they have spoken in not a large measure to things that I am interested in or speak to my needs. They have bits and pieces, but overall their message really does not impress me, and I really don't have any major or significant confidence and faith in either of the two men in regards to how they would proceed to govern this state.
It's interesting. Thank you so much for your thoughts, Alex. My guess is that even many people like you, Alex, who feel that way, and I think there are a lot of people who feel that way, are going to vote for one of the major candidates anyway.
Do you think that these independent voters like Alex, Mark, will be a significant, will they play a significant role if the race is close between Governor Ehrlich and Governor O'Malley? I mean, if we're being very frank and honest, Maria Allwine's a wonderful human being, dynamic candidate for the Greens. I'm not sure what a significant chunk of voters, the Greens, the Libertarians, and the Constitutional, the Independent Party, and the other parties in our state are going to be able to make for many reasons. Like Maria said, they haven't had the publicity. As you pointed out, they don't have the money to really significantly get us some attention. Do you think independents in Maryland are going to be one of those deciders?
There's this vast body of voters who have and do go either way, and I think it and I think they can play a critical role. Depends how close this race is.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, remember last time Martin O'Malley beat Robert Ehrlich 53-46%.
That's right.
If I have that right.
That's right.
And with 1% of the vote, I guess going to minority candidates,
mm-hmm.
right? So in a tight election, that 1% can make a huge difference. If it was like a closer to a 50-50 election, it'd make a huge difference. So I don't know if that'll play a role or not. But the independent voters themselves, they're the ones who some people who don't vote either, they don't vote ideologically.
That's right.
You know? So they could make a difference in a close race. And the question is how many of those voters and other voters stay home and don't vote. And this is going to be very interesting to watch. I mean, the New York Times today called the Maryland race a toss-up.
Toss-up.
So,
and the Cook Report says it's leaning Democratic, but they still consider it too close to call.
Which is why I think America's consciousness about voting is not yet with third parties. And it could happen. A third party could develop. They mushroom. They aren't kind of created to move in. They kind of mushroom from the bottom, I think. progressive parties in the 1920s and in the early part of the 20th century, or Ross Perot and his party, or the racist George Wallace and his party, the American Party, they bubble up and they mm-hmm. get in the moment, and we're not seeing that happen. I think people right now are, especially on the Democratic side, I think, are people who would lean Democratic, I should say, are afraid to vote for anybody but a Democrat because they're terrified of Republicans
that's
getting
right.
in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is happening. So that's part of the dynamic, I think. What do you all think? Do you agree or disagree with that? 410-319-8888. Mike, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Mike,
hey,
you're there.
I respect the opinion of both of you guys, and I had an interesting experience on Saturday. I was sitting in my living room watching football and got a knock on my door.
Mm-hmm.
A young man asked me if he could put two signs up in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
One was red, white, and blue, and it said, "Obama, we got your back. Vote Democrat." And then the other was an O'Malley for governor sign.
Okay.
And I found that very curious because I know that, black voter turnout is a question. And I drove through northeast Baltimore later that day, and I saw on Cold Spring Lane hundreds of signs like these. And I wanted to know, Anthony, what, and also Mark, what, if any impact do you think this door-to-door campaign and riding Obama's coattails will have on black voters? Because I feel that black voter turnout is, in fact, the key to this election. Is it too little, too late, and what other strategies might O'Malley try?
Hmm.
Well, I think that Martin O'Malley, well, let me start with Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown at a rally recently hosted by the labor unions, AFSCME and several other labor unions, was very frank. He said, if African-American voters do not turn out, we lose. And we know that the only demographic, and this is, I think it's troubling for the Democrats, but it's also a sense of comfort for the Democrats. The only demographic where Barack Obama is still doing extraordinarily well is among African Americans, and especially motivated African American voters. Martin O'Malley and Anthony Brown are very smart to dump an enormous amount of money in African American communities in the city of Baltimore, in Prince George's County, holding close and tight their association with Barack Obama, one of the few Democrats in the country who is Barack Obama's come to the state twice and probably just might will come again before the November election to campaign for Martin O'Malley. African Americans get energized when Barack Obama asks for them to stand with him. And so I saw those signs all weekend. They popped up like mushrooms. And I think it is we'll see if the strategy works. African Americans must turn out in this city. And Mark and I will get accused of trying to suppress voters for O'Malley if we point out this demographic is key to Martin O'Malley's victory. If African Americans check out and sit out this election, it will be difficult. Although I will tell you, if you follow the polling and you watch the debates, it really does feel like Martin O'Malley is picking up steam and momentum. And that may translate into an energized African-American base, but also Latinos. And watch how women vote. If women are voting their pocketbooks, if they're afraid of the economy, if they're afraid of the largest tax increase, as Ehrlich likes to point out, under Martin O'Malley, women will be pivotal also in what happens around the state, not just those critical Democratic-leaning counties and city like Baltimore and Baltimore County, Prince George's, Montgomery, but Cecil, Howard, the little counties. He's throughout the state of Maryland will be pivotal, women showing up and voting and who they vote for.
I mean, you might see, a larger than expected African-American vote come out nationally. I don't know what's going to happen in Maryland, but nationally I think that could happen. And I think that it'll come down to an election day panic
almost
for a lot of people. And I think that if you look at the polls, I mean, they're really this latest Gallup poll. The other things just came out today. The Gallup poll came out today saying that there is a 10% unemployment rate in mid-October. Yeah,
that's going to
be an effect on people's consciousness in the election as well. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And a lot of people don't think the Democrats have been addressing the question of jobs. Will that have an effect? I'm not sure. Oh, it must be time for us to move ahead. Folks, I'm sorry we can't get any more calls right now on this issue.
Great callers.
We need to take a very brief break. We're going to come back with a program that is called about the Understanding Campaign, which is a young man in Baltimore who is an artist needed to reach out to people in Iraq, and it's done a really fascinating thing. We're going to hear the conversation when we come back from this very brief break. I want to remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. We'll be right back.